Hi, I'm David Murphy, and I'm talking this afternoon with Stephen Van Zanen, who is Head of Product Management and Marketing and also the co-founder of a fairly new company called Broad Forward. Stephen, hi.
Hi, David.
So, Stephen, I was looking through entry forms to our startup competition that we ran in Barcelona a couple of weeks ago, and I saw this entry from a company called Broad Forward, and I thought, this looks pretty interesting. And then I got to the bottom of the page. And I see that it's come from your good self, and it made me think somebody like yourself, been with Axision for a long time, respected in this business, to chuck it all in one day and launch a startup. That must have been quite a brave thing to do.
Oh, actually, it wasn't at all from my perspective. Yes, so I worked for Axision, the leaders in messaging for years, and I was responsible to set up a broadband business for Axision and got involved, in all the latest and the greatest around broadband, such as policy management and deep packet inspection, creating services for carriers and monetizing new networks. When Axision decided to withdraw from that business, I clearly saw that that's where the future would be, and we learned through some of the business that we had. Around policy implementations with big carrier groups that were big gaps, and it was in that sense it was a no-brainer. There was a problem and a solution waiting to happen, and we went for it.
Okay, and your fellow co-founders, who are they, and are they people you work with
Oh
after?
yes, they've been senior management from Axision as well. I mean, Taco Schouten is one of the guys that used to run messaging within Axision. We had our head of R&D and operations, the man that used to run R&D for Axision. So it's like Axision goes on in broadband, but it's not related in any way in that sense.
Okay, so on this entry form for the competition, you said that your product BFX was, and I quote, a game-changing product which releases carriers from vendor lock-in. So, in what way is it game-changing? And perhaps, first of all, if you could just explain this concept of vendor lock-in for anyone who may not be familiar with it. So, how big an issue is it in your line of work?
Well, okay. Let me. I think I need to go back to the basics first. So,
Sure.
imagine that you've got the data water over which all the data flows that needs to be controlled and monetized. And there's a whole raft of systems in different layers of the network that do that. They communicate with one another and to the network through what's called signaling. It's messages that, give the commands and set up the links and what have you. That signaling is done over multiple type of languages called protocols. And there are hundreds of those, and they are not just the new protocols like the amateur that we've seen coming in with LTE. They're also the legacy SS7 old network style, although it's still prevalent, right, in most networks. And so all these systems of all these different vendors, they require to talk these languages and the variants of these languages, and it takes a long, long time. Now, in let's say in the early telcos, there were just a few services that they needed to set up, like voice and text. As we're moving forward, more and more advanced services are going to hit the carriers. Some of them we're already seeing, like shared data plans, rate plans, over-the-top applications that need access to some services. So all of that signaling, and with the coming of LTE, is going to explode in terms of not only the capacity that's required on signaling, but also the type of interworking between all of those different languages. And vendors, right, they create their own proprietary versions of these languages in some cases. And so lock-in means that when a carrier wants to set up a use case, in many cases it requires multiple of these vendors that they have acquired to work together. And it's very hard for a vendor to suddenly throw overboard the roadmap that we're planning to do a language change if there's not a real business case for it. So many of these changes will take a long, long time, and it's not uncommon to take months. And this destroys, in many cases, it destroys the time to market for carriers and the business case that's associated with the service. So, and the vendor lock-in means that a carrier can't go anywhere unless the vendor solves this language issue. Now, what BFX does, independently of any of these vendors and independently of the underlying product function, we can not only set up the different languages between those boxes through configuration, but we can also mediate, solve incompatibilities, and enrich the capabilities that make these use cases work. And we do it in some cases in hours or days, not weeks or the typical months. So there's also a huge cost factor associated with it, but time to market is a key one.
Okay, and Obviously, Mobile World Congress is still fresh in most people's minds. It was only a few weeks ago. You would have been talking to carriers about your offering out there. What was their reaction to it?
Well, carriers love the concept. They, you know, until now, I would say they were used to asking individual vendors to solve the issues. And I think more and more of them are starting to get around to the fact that this is a problem that's not going away. I mean, what you hear a lot is standardization should solve these issues. Well, you know, Diameter is the new protocol that will replace all other protocols, quote unquote. Well, there's 50, between 50 and 70 flavors of Diameter alone, right? So that's one. And the other thing is carriers have invested into different languages protocols like RADIUS and SS7. You know, they're using LDAP. They're using all these different protocols. And in order to make these use cases work, all of these need to be used. And they cannot expect, and they do realize that any vendor, each vendor will talk all of these languages and spend a lot of money and investment in R&D in getting these protocols on board. It's not their core business. So the reason they like what we do is first of all, we are completely experts in doing this. This is all we do. So we make it financially viable. There's a lot of vendors that use our software, and more are coming on board. We're doing lots of IoTs, interoperability tests to make sure that our software works with theirs, and we become effectively their front end to talk with the other vendors. And they can really focus on their core capability, their core functions, like a policy server can do what it needs to do, and we'll take care of all the different languages and aggregate the information that comes towards the policy engine, for instance. So carriers like that. And the fact is that we can set up all sorts of very complex connections across vendors through configuration, through a graphical user interface. So, you know, and that carriers love because it means that suddenly in their labs, they can set up and test service behavior without going through an incredibly lengthy, not only requirements phase, but also testing and asking vendors to change their roadmaps and what have you. So they do love it.
Okay, and as you sort of hinted earlier, they're not known for rushing into things. As a relatively new company, they might like what you have to offer, but did you come away with any signed orders?
That's interesting. Yes, actually, we did. We did walk away from Mobile Congress with a signed order, and it is a carrier, and we will announce it at one point as soon as we've gone live. But let me add this: we are a software company. That's what we do. We create a software product. We're not a sales organization, so we use channels like vendors, the big vendors. We've done IoTs, and we're working with OEM customers. We've announced one, or they announced us, basically at Mobile World Congress. There's more in the pipeline. There's more being signed up as we speak. They are our route to market, right? We're not competing with anybody. We're enriching the different vendors in the broadband ecosystem. But I haste to add, more and more carriers are directly coming to us because they love this whole notion of experts that can sit across these vendors. And so as a central interface gateway, we're involved with more and more carriers as we speak.
Okay, and then I guess final question would be, you know, I'm sitting here, I have a contract with a mobile operator. You know, everyone's got a contract with a mobile operator or has got a mobile phone these days. What difference are we going to see as a result of what you're doing in the way that any operator that's using your stuff is going to bring things to market and going forward?
Well, you know, there's plenty of situations where brought forward indirectly will be helping, you know, carriers to set up services. For instance, you know, our latest announcement was the SS7 map diameter interworking, which really allows us, you know, which allows carriers to set up Wi-Fi offload use cases where, you know, automatic authentication would mean that you as a consumer will, you know, almost roam automatically onto a Wi-Fi network if that's available without you having to do anything. Or LTE to legacy interworking, where, as you know, not all LTE networks will be available and highly penetrated over the next couple of years. And so interworking with the existing networks is very important. So our product, again, can do that. And there's other examples where we could help set up links with different databases where loyalty subscriber information is required. And we can do that very, very innovative, very quickly.
Good stuff. Well, Stephen, it sounds excellent. I'm glad you got off to such a good start, and thank you very much for telling us about it today.
Well, thanks, David, for having me.
Okay, talk to you later. Bye bye.